Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Leslie Arnold hosting Acca to the Ancient Science of Sahaji. It is Saturday, June 11th, 2016 at 6:30 p.m. on the East Coast of America. Welcome everyone to the show tonight. It's a pleasure to have you all with us. And I want to give an especially warm welcome to the leader of this very ancient teaching, and that is Sri Kadavji, the Mahaji, the 973rd living Sarosha Master. Sri Kadavji, how are you tonight?
I'm fine, Leslie. And how are you?
I'm doing quite well, thank you. It's a pleasure to have you here, as always. And I'd like to mention for the audience, the listening audience that hasn't been with us before, that we are going to go through some of the very basic foundations of this teaching and talk about why someone would be interested in getting onto this spiritual path, what happens when you do get on the spiritual path, and what the goals are, what's the whole purpose of everything. And Sri Kadavji is with us every Saturday night. Of course, he's the permanent guest of the show. We're very fortunate to have him because he'll bring in some of the very basic teachings as well as go into further esoteric aspects of the teaching, and that may vary from week to week. So it's not always the same show. And Sri Kadavji, with that, I was wondering if we could then begin a little bit with how Acca began, because we're saying this is an ancient teaching. So when did it begin? How did it begin, if I might ask those questions?
Well, by putting the short definition of ancient science in Sahaji, we do show the fact that it is ancient, but that would be a generalization because it really always exists. But because it is circular or cyclical, the best tag would be to call it ancient because it's forever pretty much. But it's not always public. It's not taught to the general audience because of the persecutions in history. And people say, well, does that mean it's sinister or something negative? No, by any means it's not. But because there is a negative force that exists, and it's a demon that we call the calendar engine. And not to get too much into that, other than the fact that we can sidestep all that negativity by simply understanding the basic principles of Akatsa, which means that we teach Sahaji, which is spirit or soul travel. And we actually practice this movement of spirit, and we call it Sahaji, which is the one word for the phrases out of body experience and et cetera, the two previous ones I mentioned. And this practice of Sahaji by the essence of man as soul, the light and sound within one, and which is the same called the spirit that we call Sarosha, is that sound current that one will hear. Now, that's the simplicity of it, because when an individual hears the sound current, now they're experiencing their essence as soul. And that's the most important first step. Once they get that first step, and then, well, you can either step onto the path or do it afterward, but that's the basic principle that we teach, is that we are soul. We're this essence, this sound current that we hear. And when we hear that sound current, then we move in the practice of Sahaji. So the movement of the spirit, which is simply when one closes their eyes, they're in motion. Even physically, there's physical motion. And that all that motion is Sahaji. The movement is the movement of spirit, and even in the physical plane. And there's an irony in that. So we keep that as the outside, and then we call the inside is when you close off in a state of contemplation. When we close our eyes to the outside world, we're really in spirit. But we haven't been taught or trained that when we do close off the physical senses, or at least the eyesight, and it does include the other four senses that's taught in school, but not really the you really have 10 senses, but we don't need to go into that other than the fact of saying that we're talking about the inside, which is the spirit. We're talking, that's what we talk about in Akashic, is mostly talking about the spirit world that we are in soul, as I said before, in this sound current. So when one listens to the sound current and then closes their eyes in the daily 30-minute contemplation that we recommend in Akashic to do this daily, it's like a meditation-like, but we don't really try to use that phrase very often, so we call it contemplation. So when one does this daily practice and they close off to the physical world for 30 minutes, they go within to learn how to get to the state of spiritual liberation and what is known as the fifth dimension or fifth plane. It's a phraseology to explain the different subtleties on the inner planes because there are different dimensions, but the Orthodox teachings just think of it as you're not physical, then you're spiritual, or the physics. Usually the physicists will teach about the fact that you're pretty much nothing. Most real physicists are atheistic. They believe there's a universe and you're either alive or dead in it, and if you're dead, then you're nothing. So what we try to explain is that we learn about the essence of soul, and there are different dimensions that you can experience. So then we talk about what is known as the lower worlds. And the physical plane would be the lowest lower world, and then you have four total, including the physical plane, lower planes. These physical planes include the astral, causal, and mental planes. Those four lower planes are the difficulty, and they need to be negotiated through to gain spiritual liberation. So that's why Akashic becomes public periodically. It's not always public, but it becomes public for those truth seekers, people that are diligently or sometimes feverishly trying to find inner spiritual liberation. So that teaching is offered by the Living Inspiration Master of the time that becomes teach this practice, I'll say, or this inner movement of Sahaji, so that one can gain spiritual liberation from the karma and reincarnation. So having said all that, the membership in Akashic, which is free and the books are free, there's no cost, and we're not pitchmen or salesmen here. We're really giving a pure message for the ready soul that can hear the purport of the Living Spiritual Master of the time and then learn about the basic principles that we talk about here to do the daily contemplation, go within, hear the sound current, and gain spiritual liberation. And what's really interesting, Leslie, it's like when you give all these simplicity, and you can see how easy it really is in terms of the teaching, that the irony, we've often said that only 1 in 100 can understand it. We're only talking about 1% of the population can get the simplicity of it, and they say, boy, this is so simple. You had 99 out of 100 don't get it. It becomes the most complex thing they've ever heard. Isn't that ironic?
Yeah, it is. It's interesting. But, you know, as you always say, that 1 out of 100 is 750 million people?
Yeah, 7.5 billion people in the Earth area, yeah. So it's 75
right, so
million people, yeah. It's a lot of people that can't that get the simplicity of it. But the other 99 out of 100 just don't get it completely. They don't. There's that old proverb, they don't have the eyes to see or the ears to hear the message, so they're not a ready soul. And people say, well, I can hear it, I can speak, and I can understand, but can you really? You see, I mean, people who know and can relate to the fact that they, in your lifetime, you talk to people and you wonder if they're really understanding what you're talking about, but they really don't. Now, like, people are mostly on their own agenda, you know, and they, people complain about, he wasn't listening to me at all, I didn't get it. Well, that's because they're really not in even the same arena. You know, the people go to school and they think everybody's the same. I always jokingly say, they always say, where are the aliens? I say, well, line up 10 people in a row and see if you see anything the same in an individual. Nobody. There's not, even twins have distinctive characteristics that are different. And see, that's the interesting thing. We think we're all the same people, when in reality we're not. We're all individual, very unique, and Akutsu addresses that individuality like no other teaching, and respect that individuality and the uniqueness because it's very precious and very special. At the same time, even in the essence of soul is very distinctively different. And that expresses even in our outer character physically. See, so people don't realize that the individuality is not respected anywhere else. They just clump everybody together and call them people, right? Funny, right?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Everybody is trying to, well, everybody wants everybody else to be like them. So nobody wants to stick out and look different.
That's right.
So they try to. So it's the government tries to do that. The medical medical industry or whatever you want to call it tries to do that. Education tries to do that, and so everything becomes this big collective. But in Agata, we're breaking away from that. We're letting people be their individual selves. And one of the most beautiful things for me and for other people that I know who've been on the path for quite some time is that when you're on the path, your individuality just really flowers. Your creativity, things that maybe you weren't aware of that you were had talents for, start to come out. And so you become more of an individual as time goes on. So it's really wonderful. But just by being a channel for spirit, doing the contemplation techniques that Sri Kadashi was mentioning, and this all enables you to blossom even greater. And it's a wonderful experience.
Correct.
Because of that.
Yes, and that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. It's the ready soul can appreciate the simplicity of the practice of Akutsu because that's the basic requirement is to understand that whatever an individual is in terms of their personality and their inner life and all the ramifications of what makes them unique, it's just fine. We don't expect anybody to change, but by the daily practice of contemplation, one will get into spiritual balance. Because a lot of times people come to the path and they've been feverishly seeking and they've come home, and I've even had a student in the past say she felt like she came home. She was finally home. And when they got there, they needed to relax a little bit. And the idea of the daily contemplation is a very quiescent state where it's very quiet. And one gets spiritual balance by that daily practice. At the same time, they go on the inner planes, as we were saying before, and take the journey to spiritual liberation. How long that takes? It's entirely individual. We say it usually takes several years to gain the fifth plane because there is a journey and a practice. But like I said, some people get enlightenment in a heartbeat or a flash, and some people it takes much longer to do that. It's just the diligence is what it takes. And my opinion is each individual is a diligent, disciplined spirit within in their state of knowingness, but in their practice in the outer, there still is this motion and movement and seeking elsewhere except for the divine purport that's within them. See, that's the interesting part, is that the path has always been within and not without. It's like in Star Trek, they had this thing called Shakari, which was supposed to be in God, and this place they found God in the physical plane, right? And then it ended up being this real demonic force, which I thought was very good because it's really that way in terms of if you think you can find God in the physical plane, it's completely ludicrous. And most teachings don't really believe that, but when they do, it is ridiculous. At the same time, where is the supreme deity? Well, you need to go within, and that's the idea is we offer three goals in Akutsu. First one is self-realization, and I had said, you had four lower planes, and then the fifth plane is a soul plane, and that would be the first goal. So, Leslie, I'll let you talk about the three goals and maybe take us through a contemplation, or if you would actually take us through one, that would be nice. You know, the adverb maybe in there, I didn't really want you to, probably or could be. I would want you to.
Okay. Well, the there are three goals, and those are the first goal is self-realization, the second goal is God-realization, and the final goal is spiritual mastery. So when one gets on the path, when they've been, it might take about 5 years to get to self-realization, but this is not always the case for everybody. Some people go faster, some go slower. It really depends on what their own spiritual experiences have been and what their readiness is, and also how much time they dedicate to their spiritual exercises, because that will, we don't monitor that, but if someone is doing that, it will help them unfold at a faster rate, possibly. So it will definitely help them gain more insight on the path. So what happens is there are initiations there at every level of every plane. So when as Srikadati had said, there's physical, astral, causal, mental, and the top of the mental is the etheric. So those are four initiations that you get. But when you get your fifth initiation, which is at the soul plane, which is also called Satlok, then you step into what are called the pure positive God worlds of Akshar. So there is no negativity, there's no duality, because in the lower worlds you have positive and negative of everything. In the higher worlds it's just pure positive spirit. So when we reach the level of self-realization, what happens is we've been on this journey for a little while, and we have recognition of who we are as soul, how soul relates in the world, in not just the physical world, but in the spiritual world. And what's happened is we've been on this path for a while. We've been doing our contemplations. We've been looking within and learning, progressing. And with each step that we've taken, we've gained another level of confidence. So when one becomes self-realized, they have the greatest amount of self-confidence that they can get after they've left the lower world. So they're not doubting who they are and where they're going. They have true understanding of that. They can't be shaken of what they're doing. So it's a true spiritual understanding of who we are as soul and how we as soul relate to the rest of the universe. So then after that, there's other planes where you get initiations. There's the Alok Lok, which is the sixth plane, the Alaya Lok, which is the seventh plane, and then when we reach the eighth plane called the Hutikat Lok, we receive our God realization. We receive God realization. So that's the second goal, and this is a greater understanding of our relationship to Akshar, or we call we use the higher Sanskrit term for God, which is Akshar. So that's a greater relationship that we're getting to, greater understanding, excuse me, of that relationship to Akshar. And then we can start looking at things about what we're going to be doing in the universe. How can we contribute in the universe? Of course, we're contributing all along. First of all, we're just contributing by being a channel for spirit all the time, because every time we do our contemplation, that enables us to give back to Akshar. Every time we do that contemplation exercise, which I will explain a little further on. But then the further we go, we start to get an understanding of what can we give. There are many ways that we can give creatively. We can give in classes. We can give on the outer. We can give on the inner. And as Srikadati said before, I don't want this to be confused. We're not giving money or anything like that. We're just giving back to Akshar. That's basically it. So we've been learning how to outflow on a constant basis. That outflow is so important in our spiritual unfoldment. We must outflow all the time. So what happens after that, after the eighth initiation, God realization, we travel through Agam Lok, and then we reach the Anami Lok, which is the 10th plane. And on the Anami Lok, this is where we receive our true spiritual mastery, our spiritual master initiation. Now, that's something that can be achieved by but people within this lifetime. And we do have many masters on this spiritual path. But most of the paths, I honestly don't know other paths that have spiritual masters. As far as I know, we are the only one that's offering spiritual mastery. Others talk about it, but are there spiritual masters on the path? Not that I am aware of. And I would say that we're the only one doing that. So when we get spiritual mastery, so now we know what we're really going to be doing in the universe, because we honestly know how we can take a job within the universe, whether that's on the inner planes or the outer planes, but it's a more, I don't want to say concrete because that sounds like it's lower worlds, but it's a more definitive example of how we can give back. And that spiritual mastery is not the final step on the path. We are continuing to unfold every moment. It continues on and on and on. So being a 10th initiate of spiritual mastery is not the final place where we're going. So, I wanted to mention also that when I was talking about the spiritual exercise, Sri Kadasthi was talking about the spiritual exercise before, that really propels our growth. And it's a 30-minute inner exercise, inner and outer exercise that we do on a daily basis. And the reason we do it for 30 minutes is because that 30 minutes bridges a 24-hour period, which gives us greater balance, greater protection, and enhances our spiritual unfoldment. So we basically, when we do the spiritual exercise, we're going to be sitting quietly, as quiet a place as we can find in our residence, and closing our eyes, having our feet flat on the floor. We can have them be sitting Indian style, tower fashion, if you would, whatever's comfortable. And use earplugs if you need to have it quieter. And then we take a couple of deep breaths to calm ourselves, and we're going to chant. If you're on the path, you'll have a mantra from your initiation that you're given. And or you can use the word hue, which comes off the 10th plane, and the plane of spiritual mastery, which is hue is another name of God. So what I'm going to do now is just take you through a brief, what we call a huge chant, for just a minute or so, just to experience what it feels like to chant the hues so you can get an idea. And I do want to say, when you're doing these contemplation exercises, different experiences you can have. You can hear the spiritual current, which is often heard as a high-pitched electrical sound, but it can also be heard as different forms of music on the inner planes. You might see the light, which is maybe a white light or a golden light, or one of the lights of one of the colors in the other planes below the soul plane as well. You might see the blue lights of the inner master, which often comes forward as a twinkling blue star, and he's there to help and guide you as you would allow him to do. Now, so let's sit quiet. Let's get comfortable. I'm going to take you through a brief hue chant, and you can follow along or just listen. But it sounds like this. Barak HaBashar, which means may the blessings be. Sri Kadavchi, if you'd like to add something or continue
yes.
on.
I was okay. When we were talking about the second goal of God realization, there's a paradox in there, and we want to explain the acronym of G-O-D, which means the glimpse of the divine. So when one has God realization on the path of Akasha, they get to the eighth plane, and they're a transfer, a juxtaposition, whatever you want to call it, to the 12th plane. It's like a flash of enlightenment, or we call it the glimpse of the divine, and one gains God realization, but they don't sustain the 12th plane, and they're back to the 8th plane. And that's because historically, one of the masters had offered to the higher initiates, the initiates to go to the fifth plane, who were clamoring to gain godlization and didn't want to take forever, so to speak. So it's very interesting how students are asked lots of questions and are very anxious to experience the Supreme. So they were given that opportunity in ancient times to have this glimpse of the divine. And that's where the word God came into being, and we're the only ones who really explain that acronym. So I just thought I'd give that special message in regard to the godlization, because nobody teaches that. Akats is the only one that understands that, the glimpse of the divine and godlization. So I thought that would be something very special to add and to enhance, I'll say, an additional factor of enlightenment that we do. It seems like we do that each week, something brand new, or not really new per se, but not new to the Supreme Deity, but new to us in the lower worlds. But anyway, and that's why we have this really grand opportunity that comes around to the ready soul, and it's sort of like the Sarosha catches them. And if you have the chance to listen to us tonight, knowing that we're not here to sell anything, that the membership is free, and once people step onto the path, their karma ceases immediately. They don't create any more karma, and they start to work it out. And that's why it takes a little time for enlightenment, because there's an impedance of a karmic bundle, I'll say, that people have born into in this world, and they have to work all that out. So working that out can be sometimes take a while, but it just depends on the individual. This is very individual. Sometimes people run it off very quickly and have instant enlightenment. I can't say. It's up to the individuals on the path. And that's why the philosophers and many of the old-time writers will talk about, well, people can gain spiritual enlightenment immediately. Well, they can. I'm not saying they won't be. But our general view is that by a daily practice, will guarantee that they can gain these goals, you see. So if it doesn't take time, then you know about the goals. If it takes time, then you still know about the goals. So it's very interesting in terms of that esoteric wisdom that we offer from the path of Akata, which I'm very proud and honored to be able to present the information to the truth seeker that, just like I was years ago, feverishly seeking, and then I learned this through my teacher, Paul Twitchell, and that brought instant balance into my life. I'm reading one book, I couldn't believe it. It was just so amazing. And it's the same idea when people step onto the path. Sometimes they're not jumping and flicking their heels in the air, but on the inside they truly are. They are. When you hear the sound current for the first time, usually it's an ecstatic experience. How's our time? I'll take a look.
Thanks, Mr. Tadashi. Yes, and as far as you were mentioning books, if anyone's interested in getting more information, you can go to our website, akata.com, and download for free any of the materials there. We do have different books there. We have an introductory book by Sri Tadashi that's a wonderful book to read, and that'll give you some very in-depth information about the path, and also you can listen to any of the Blog Talk Radio shows. Most importantly, we have a series of talks that are coming up that are going to be given by Sri Tadashi. So these are very special events that are happening beginning in June. So if you're going to be in the Philadelphia area on Thursday, June 16th, the first talk will be given at 6:30 p.m. at the Philadelphia Central Library, room 108. And that's at 1901 Vine Street in Philadelphia. The Philadelphia Central Library, Thursday, June 16th at 6:30 p.m., room 108. So I just want to mention it's free. Of course, like everything that we do on this path, it is free for interested in attending that talk. And I do want to thank everyone for being with us this evening. As I said before, it's a great pleasure always to be part of this show that we have every week and to be able to impart this information, to be able to hear the wisdom that Sri Tadashi imparts to us always. And Sri Tadashi, with about 20 seconds left, I want to give you an opportunity to close for the evening.
The master raises his right hand with palm facing outward and says the ancient phrase, I am always with you. May the blessings be. Barak HaBashad.